Very often, or not very often, but there are times when your spirit, from your spirit, you go to say to your soul, bless the Lord. You know, and that you live from your spirit. And it's a good time to just tell your soul to start to get out of yourself and to bless God, to focus on Him. I heard a fantastic testimony this morning by a lady here about before when it would rain, there would be a certain battle in the mind, but because of faith, there's evidence of growing in faith, because the fruit now is that doesn't matter whether it's raining or not, we're pressing in for God. And very often we want to be able to see we're growing in faith. We want to look at the evidence of that. We want to see the proof of we're actually growing in faith. Okay, let's go. I want to go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at some scriptures in Hebrews chapter 10 now. But just to go back to a few weeks back when we started to share a little bit about understanding what God is busy doing through His family in our towns that we are involved in. So it was a few weeks ago when I was sharing, I believe God wanted to really highlight something for the family of God to begin to ask certain questions about, Father, what is your will? What are you thinking? What are you wanting to do in the town that you've placed us in with your family? Not just as an individual, not just as a local congregation, but your family in a town. Father, what is your thoughts? What are you wanting to do now for us to really begin to understand what you're doing and to join you in what you're wanting to do? So we're going beyond our own little lives and beginning to understand what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and to be able to live in the Father's will as Jesus modeled for us. And so we spent some time and we mentioned a prayer that could be very helpful for us as a body of Christ to be praying for the family of God, not only in our town, but also for the nation that we're living in. And that was the prayer that Paul prays. And you can go through many of the prayers, Jesus' prayer and the prayers that we see in the New Testament, Old Testament. And Paul says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So again, remember, Paul is addressing the body of Christ living in Colossia, not just the individual, the body of Christ. It's made up of individuals, but he's sharing about the privilege and the joy of interceding, praying that our Heavenly Father will give the body of Christ the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we know His will and what pleases Him. And he carries on through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order, so he has the purpose, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then He takes a focus and He points it to our Lord Jesus Christ, the supremacy of Christ, and He spends quite a bit of time on that. But we see here, as we were asking that very, I think, important question, Father, why are we here in a town? Why are we in a nation? What are you up to? What are you wanting to do? What Holy Spirit knows your thoughts. Your Holy Spirit communicates to our spirit, and so that we can have the mind of Christ and we can really commit ourselves. We can surrender ourselves. We can offer ourselves, as we looked in Romans, We're offering ourselves as weapons of righteousness here where we're staying. And so that's a beautiful prayer to be part of, to pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal to the body of Christ. And we know that as the Holy Spirit shares with the body of Christ, we know that it comes to the place where a decision needs to be made to listen or to go back to tradition and just the way things are. So we know the battle, we know that struggle that people have. It's one thing praying this, but when we're praying this, we need to be committed, Lord, what you're saying, we're going to amen to that and to yield to that and to walk in that. Okay. Otherwise, we'll find that we pray these things and then God is silent because we have not yet taken hold of what God has already shared and began to be obedient in what he has already shared. So it's important for us to know that for many it will be a battle to follow and to respond to what the Holy Spirit is sharing. As Sasha was saying, we're speaking about our destinies in Christ. What has God written? And it's very easy to want to go for a prophetic word or whatever it may be. And that, but there's a responsibility to, okay, this is what you've shared. Now let me grow into that. There's a grace and a faith that I must work with to be able to live out. So that's why we're asking the evidence of faith as we start to see the fruit of us receiving what God has spoken and beginning to walk in that. And that's important. So we had a look at that and we're busy praying now for the family of God in our town to really hear the voice of God, to recognize what he's saying and how to respond to what God is busy saying to the family of God. And I've shared this many times, but I think just for you guys, it's been quite a long time ago when I was walking, just talking with Jesus and God spoke to me and he asked me this question, why am I as a person in this town? And I had the theological answers and I knew they were not what God wanted to hear. He is the theologian, you know, he understands things. And I just said, Father, why am I in this town? And he said, because I, God, I love the people of this town. And then suddenly I understood what God is up to and I understood our purpose. I understood my purpose for being here is to make his love known, is to be able to be part of what God wants to do to revealing his love. And then the second question he asked me, and he said, why is my family in this town? And that, and in the instant I saw a lot of the church history of what has taken place and all the rubbish stuff that takes place in churches and the adulteries and all these things that take place. And he said, and I said, why are we in this town? And he said, because I love the people of this town. And so the church exists because God loves the people of this town and we have a role to play in really ministering to the lives of the people, whatever town that God has placed us in. And so what is the Father's heart? Why are we here? Why has the Father rescued us out of the dominion of darkness, out of the control of the rule of sin and the control of Satan? Why has God rescued us out of that in and through his son Jesus and brought us into the kingdom of his son Jesus? Why is that? There's a reason, there's a purpose. And we find our life's purpose, we find fulfillment when we begin to understand that and to live that out. So we can have the whole family of God in a town that is frustrated and not living in their God-given purpose, because it's one thing saying, okay, God, he has our agenda, etc. But it's another thing, God, why are we in this town? We yield to your agenda. And this is what we're praying for, that the family of God will yield to God's agenda and not to man's agenda. Okay, and it's important because God loves the people of a town. And remember what Acts 17 says, that it is God who determines the times, etc., and the places for us to be living in order for people to find God. So there's a reason why we are all living in a particular town, because God wants them to experience him and to get to know him. So we've been looking at that for for quite a while. Now, it's normal for us when we speak about purpose, when we speak about reason, when we speak about destiny and things like that, it's normal for us to think in the natural all the time. And so, for some, it's like, I'm planning my holiday, that's my destiny, and it's there. For others, I'm planning my future pension scheme and my retirement there, that's the end goal, that's where I want to end. And so that's my destiny, to be able to live in that place, etc. For some, it's about a career, things like that. And so, for many in the family of God, that's where we live, and that's where we stay, unfortunately. That's where we get stuck in, and we spend a lot of time and energy in doing all of that stuff, but it's very ground bound. It's very focused here on this earth realm, and we're busy doing that all the time. But the Holy Spirit wants to take us to a higher level and understanding something about the question, God, what is the destiny of your kingdom? That's a good question to ask. And therefore, what is our destiny in your kingdom? That's a good question to ask. Because suddenly we are taken out from just living a ground-bound kind of a world-minded worldview, and suddenly we are beginning to ask that very serious question, your kingdom. What have you spoken about your kingdom? What's the future of your kingdom? We are in your kingdom, therefore, that includes us. We are in your kingdom, so the future of your kingdom speaks about our future, our destiny as well. What is it? And that's a good question to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal. And each and every one of us, how we fit into that as well. And that's God's destiny. That's what he's written about, his kingdom. That's what he has spoken, what is the kingdom and the journey of his kingdom, the outcome of his kingdom. We're in his kingdom. And therefore our lives as well. So again, it's about not so living in that old who we used to be, but really understanding in Christ we are a new creation. We've been raised with him. We are seated with him. So all of those truths now, from being a fridge magnet, we are experiencing the life of that. We're experiencing that. Those truths have got substance to it. They're tangible. They're real. We can live in the life of the Word of God. And that's part of what God is busy doing now, because he loves the people of the town. And he's helping us as his family to understand the joy of seeking first the kingdom of God. The joy of joining Jesus when Jesus said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." It's totally different than the average Christian that you might be in contact with there, where it's all about, I've got so many more days before pension, I've got so many days before we're going down on holiday, we've planned our holidays and everything, and the focus and the energy, and there's no consideration of, Father, what's your destiny? And what's the kingdom's destiny? Because when I grasp that, no matter where we go, I've got a reason, I've got a purpose, and I'm busy now advancing the kingdom of God while still having lots of fun and so forth. So we're busy asking this, and I want to take us to some scriptures over here in Hebrews in chapter 10. And just to see the life of Jesus, first of all, and how he taught us about these things. Remember when in John 15, when we looked at that, when Jesus is speaking about the bearing fruit and the Father, the garden, and so forth. And in verse 16, he says something, and he speaks about that, you did not choose me. I chose you to go and bear fruit that will last. See, and that's why when we begin to ask ourselves, God, what's the destiny of your kingdom? Because it's an everlasting kingdom. I'm in your kingdom. Therefore, I want to be involved with the fruit that's going to last. I'm not going to, don't want to spend all my time and energy, no matter how important that is and necessary that is, but I want to rather begin to understand what it means to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and all these other things. Because I want to have fruit that will last. I don't want to have fruit that's going to be destroyed or stolen or going to rust, etc., and things like that. And so he's helping us to really press in to understand how to live in a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. And Jesus gives us an example. Remember the book of Hebrews. It's Jewish believers. It's the Jews that have come to know Christ. And right now there's a temptation. They're being persuaded to leave their pure, simple faith in Christ and go back to practicing Judaism and the law of Moses, etc. And so the whole letter is to really release life so that they can see, wow, that Jesus is greater than the angels, that Jesus is greater than Moses, that Jesus is greater than Melchizedek, that Jesus is greater than the priest, the order of Levi, etc. All the time pointing to the reality who Christ is there. So taking them from their focus on their history, their law, etc., and really revealing the truth found in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we come, in chapter 10, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. Again, so he's once again sharing the truth here. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipper would have been cleansed once for all, and he would no longer feel guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Now, verse 5. The other writer has just spoken about the sacrifice of bulls and animals and how it is not effective. It cannot remove the guilt. All that was an annual reminder of sin. But then he says, but here's Jesus. Therefore, when Christ came into the world. Now, that's fascinating. I don't know if you've ever picked that up. It's that now when Christ came into this world, and then he says something. So now Christ, when he came into this world, somewhere along the line in his life, this is what Jesus said to the Father. Sacrifice, he said, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. And here's an amazing reality here where Jesus is showing us as he came into as a man into this world. He said, Father, I've come to live the life that you have destined for me to live. Because it has been written about my life. And I've come to do your will. So he's showing us the reality of sonship over here. He's showing us how a son lives in the kingdom of God. He's showing us something profound where he himself, the Son of God, he said to the Father, Father, everything that is written, here I am to do your will. And that's just his earthly life, because when we go from Genesis, when straight after the fall, God had spoken to Adam and Eve concerning the promise of the Son, Jesus Christ, and what will take place. Crush the head of Satan, etc. And we see everything that was been written. And we go to Abraham, and all nations will be blessed through you, speaking about Jesus Christ. And carry on and through all the prophets there concerning, we look at Isaiah, you look at Ezekiel, you look at all the prophets, Daniel, and you see so much there about the life of Jesus, but not just his human life, also his resurrection, also his ascension, also his glorification. speaks about all of that. And so Jesus is saying to the Father, Father, everything that is written in your book, everything that is written in the scrolls, everything that you have spoken, that you have decreed, that I say, here I am to do your will. Now that's quite something. And that's why we ask the question, Father, what have you spoken concerning your kingdom? What have you spoken concerning us as the body of Christ? What is written about the body of Christ? What is your predestined purpose for the body of Christ here? Because here we come to do your will. Imagine, can you imagine for one moment the body of Christ in the nation coming and saying, Father, whatever you've written, here we are to do your will. Oh, can you imagine that? See, then they understand the prayer of Jesus, let them be one, as we, you and I are one. They're beginning to understand something. So we got much to be praying about in our own lives. It's a lot of time where we start to say, Father, what, as Jesus says, everything written, we come as the family of God. Everything that your word, what you have decreed in your word for the family of God worldwide, for us in this town, for us in the towns that we're living, everything, Father, we're here to do your will. That's a bit of a surrendering. And that's very difficult when we don't understand the truth that we died to the old Adam nature. Foundation in Christ Jesus. It's very, very difficult to be able to understand a wonderful surrender and the joy of surrender, because they don't have not yet by faith received the fact that that power of sin has been broken in my identification of dying with Christ and being raised with Him and being a new creation. It's very difficult for the body of Christ that is very worldly, that doesn't understand the reality that I'm no longer a slave to sin, but now I'm a slave to righteousness. It's very difficult. And that's why we always got to go to just a reminder of a truth in Christ Jesus, that we died with Him. We've been raised with Him. The power of sin, the old Adam nature, that power is broken. I'm no longer a slave to that. The enemy comes to tempt us to go back into that there, but I'm not a slave. I don't have to yield to that. I'm now a slave to righteousness, and I offer my body now to be a weapon of righteousness. My mind is a weapon of righteousness. See, now when we come, we'll be able now to be able to say, Lord Jesus, what you have said, what you have spoken concerning your family, here we are to do your will. Because I've died. I'm no longer, I don't love this world. I love you. And I'm in the kingdom. And in the kingdom, I operate in this world. Different life, different calling, different purpose. A fulfilled life that we have. And in this incredible life, this is only the time where we really start, because now we're starting to walk by faith. And this is when we start to see the promises in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. But it takes that faith. Have you ever looked at Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on faith? And William, you might enjoy the research. Verse 3, by faith we know that God created the worlds, plural. Interesting. Have you ever thought of that? He created the worlds, plural. There's something to have a look at. It's going to the original. It can be ages as well, translated as ages. We were chuckling, we were speaking about what we're going to do in heaven. And we were saying, well, let's go to that galaxy there and just go and continue doing this, advancing what God wants to do in that galaxy, and then we'll go to that galaxy. God created the worlds. Whatever that means. He put order. He put order. He ordered the worlds and so forth. Faith sees that. Faith is the reality of not of knowing what God is sharing, but it's still unseen. And we take hold of that. So for me, for personally, what has God spoken for 1947? See, what's the destiny for 1947? So Isaiah 2 and Isaiah 4 for me is what is written already, what God has spoken, what He has shared of our destiny. But what has He shared with you? That's the thing. And by faith we take hold of these things and beginning to walk in the reality of faith. One of the things the Holy Spirit was sharing earlier this morning, you know, when I shared this on time, I said I felt like Moses saying, this is, you know, just to the last speech kind of thing. I feel like Moses again at the burning bush where God is speaking to Moses and Moses is looking at himself and, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that, and God's anger. And we come to the place where God shares by faith, you start to know what God's destiny is for our lives. And you feel like Moses, whoa, no, it's too big, it's too big, it's too big, it's impossible. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the grace of God. Because in when God shares something for you and I, when He gives you a promise, when He speaks destiny into our lives, everything is in that, all the provision, all the strength, everything is available, it's in that. We've got to just grow and learn how to walk in the grace, how to walk in the faith that we have. So for me, 1947, sometimes it's like, wow, it's, we need the Holy Spirit. Really, we do. But all the wisdom is available to build. All the wisdom of God is made available for us to be able to receive and to build what He wants to do, the destiny of our town or the body of Christ. But it comes when we say, but Lord, what have You written? I now yield to You. I give myself to be able to live out what You have written. For some it might be for the place where you're working. For some it might be for the nation. For some it might be for the nations. Whatever it is, God knows destiny, our destinies. And He wants to share and help us to say, Lord, what is written? We always go to that Psalm 139, verse 15 and 16, where David is saying, wow, God, I'm so wonderfully made by You. And he says, but all the days of my life You have written in Your book. And Your thoughts about me is beyond my understanding. It's so huge. What is written? Yes, Lord. Take hold of that by faith. Unseen, but by faith you take hold of it and walk in it there. Just a few scriptures I want to just share. In the Old Testament, there's amazing scriptures, first of all. Just in Daniel chapter 2. In verse 44, remember, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And here Daniel is interpreting the dream. And he's speaking, there's a statue and how it starts to get broken up, etc., etc. But there was this rock that was not made by human hands. And it struck the statue's feet of iron and clay and smashed it. And he starts to speak about that this rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. And he's speaking about God's kingdom because he goes on and he speaks about this and he says over here, It'll crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron and bronze and the clay, the silver and the gold to pieces. And then he goes on and he speaks about the reality of the kingdom of God. And then in chapter 7, we see here another dream that Daniel has about the four beasts and the different kingdoms and the world powers and things like that. And he gets the interpretation and he goes on, but the court will sit there, this is verse 26, but the court will sit and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed. Then the sovereignty, power and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. That's profound, because we're asking, what is the destiny? What is God predestined for his kingdom that we're in? And he has something about this everlasting kingdom. And he says over there, if you go to Revelation as well, and he speaks about that now the kingdoms of this world will be handed over to the saints. What is our destiny? There's something to ponder about. There's something to think about when Jesus is giving the parable of the talents. And he says to the guys, your ability, so much, your ability, so much, your ability, so much. He goes where he comes back. And we know that the parable, wow, you've done well, you've multiplied. I'm going to give you more. You've done well, you've multiplied. I'm going to give you more. You've hidden your talents and you're going to take and give it away. There's something there about understanding when Jesus returns and understanding the reality of this eternal kingdom. Maybe, just maybe, he's saying, listen, you've been faithful with one city. You've been faithful with one nation. I'm going to now give you five nations. I'm going to now give you 10 nations. Maybe there's more to our destiny, because we're looking at fruit that will last. We're looking at eternity than just the now, 70 years or something like that, 80 years, whatever it may be. See, we need to stop and ask, Father, what is the destiny of your kingdom? And we need to press in. So in our own quiet times at home, in our own research, it'll be good to do that over there. Psalm 145 verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. We're living in that everlasting kingdom. What is our destiny? This is why we've got eternal life. And this is why we have fruit that will last. Because we're living in an eternal destiny, eternal kingdom. Another one we have, we can go in, Ephesians is full of it. The New Testament is full of it. But just quickly some scriptures over here that might help. Verse 10. In Ephesians 1 verse 10. What has been written concerning the family of God, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, to be put into effect, this is God's will, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head in Christ. Now, what does that mean? I've no idea. But it's written. It's written. It's written in the Word of God concerning the destiny of the family of God, the body of Christ, in Christ Jesus. So it's a good thing to say, Father, I don't understand much of this, but it's written and here I am. Here I am. Everything that is written for your family, here we are to do your will. A body you have prepared. Let's go and do the will of God. Verse 11 carries on and it says over here, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. It is written. Powerful. we are in Christ for the praise of God's glory. That's quite a mind shift for many believers when we start to read, God, we here, it's been written that here, through us as your family, you can be glorified. You can be glorified. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, fruit that is everlasting. My Father is glorified. So whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father is glorified. So all of a sudden we're saying, okay, it's written. I don't know if you ever say grace. You probably do. But one of the wonderful things about just coming and just thanking God for your meal is to know how faithful God is to His promises. How faithful He is in providing and what He said. It's written. God's a faithful God. He's true to His word. So now the family of God, when we realize, God, you have predestined for your glory to be revealed through our lives. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And it's a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. It is what Christ has done. So we have a lot of rain. We had a lot of wind. The Holy Spirit is busy blowing cobwebs off and dust off the foundation of us being in Christ Jesus and learning what it is to grow up in Him, to be rooted and established in Him, so that again the Father can be glorified. What does Paul pray in Ephesians 3? And he says in verse 21 or verse 29, to Him is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, so that the Father is glorified in His Son Jesus and in and through us as the body of Christ. See, it's written, our destiny, for us to glorify God. So we don't live for ourselves, we live for the glory of God. Hallowed be your name. We're growing up. We're maturing. God is awakening us up and giving us what it is to be a son in the kingdom of God. We can look at many scriptures. Another quick scripture is in verse 22, same Ephesians 1, verse 22. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. It's written. Our destiny is to live a life as a family of God worldwide with the reality that God fills everything in every way. It is written. Thank God for the power of His Holy Spirit and the power of His blood. Thank God. You see, we can go, oh no, it's impossible. But the truth is that in Christ we are a new creation. This is our reality. We just wanted to get into agreement and renew our mind to truth and accept the truth and experience the grace of God working for us to be able to live and to manifest what is already written for our lives. So it's not by works that we boast, but it's really by faith, receiving what is written and to experience the power of God within us to be able to live out what He has already predestined for us to live. Ephesians chapter 3, I think we know this very well. I've just read it over there. In verse 10, listen to what is written for our lives. This is quite something. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, through us, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that profound? It is written now that through us, this manifold wisdom of God can be made known to the spiritual realm, to the heavenly beings. What a destiny. What a purpose. there are times when we experience where the angels actually come and listen to what has been shared. Because they don't experience what we experience. We struggle, we do all these kind of things. And they listen to the marvelous gospel of God, the good news, and what Christ has done in our lives. And they marvel and say, wow, look at the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Look how these people have been redeemed. Look at the destinies that's written in their lives, and look how the Father is involved by the Holy Spirit giving truth from Jesus, and they're growing up into what the Father has destined for them. Look at this incredible work of God where the enemy is trying to destroy, but look at these people in Christ Jesus rising up, growing and living out their God-given destiny in Christ Jesus. And the angels marvel. The demons are confused. Because it is written in the Word of God, our destiny. We can carry on, but let's stop over there. We get back to a wonderful question again. Father, what has been written concerning your kingdom? I've come to do your will. And to live out everything that has been written concerning your kingdom and concerning us as your children of light in the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, it's been written that you have taken us, you have redeemed us from the control, from the rule of darkness. It is written that we're in this kingdom of light so we can live as children of light. It is written that we can overcome evil with goodness. It is written that as children of light, we can expose darkness, the evil deeds. It is written, powerful, that you have given us weapons of righteousness to be able to break down the strongholds. You've given us the sword of the Spirit. It's written, here I am to do your will. And in that, it's an amazing. People find their careers, people find their passions in life, people begin to see doors opening. Because the politicians have written something for our lives. The devil has written something for our lives. But God has written something for our lives. Who are we going to believe? Faith. And we looked at this on Thursday. Who has overcome this world? We have overcome by faith. We have overcome this world. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 5 and 6, by faith. So Father, thank you that we can come this morning and just stop for a moment and just over a period of time come to you and ask, Father, here's my life, but here's the life of the family, your family and the towns and the nation. What have you written concerning your kingdom? What have you written concerning our town, our nation? How do we fit into it? How do we live a life that Jesus taught us? The works that I'm doing is not my works, it's the Father working in me. We want to live, Lord Jesus, in the truth, in the joy of it's no longer I who live, but it's you living in us. And the life we live by faith. And I want to thank you for grace this morning, Father, that's enabling us to be able to go beyond the battle of self, beyond the mind, beyond all these things that come away, and simply to say, Father, whatever you have determined, whatever you have written for our lives as the family of God, and our part in it with all our gifts that you've given to us by the Holy Spirit, and how we participate in all of this, we say yes, Father. And we thank you. Our prayer, Father, as you pray, Jesus, that by the Holy Spirit you will share with your family. You are the one, and that the joy to know, Jesus, that it's been written that you are the builder of your ecclesia. You are the builder. And we want to thank you as you build your family here, to build the body of Christ by your Spirit as you share and help. Lord, many we know, we hear the struggles that they have right now, the tension because of truth that you're revealing, but yet the denominational system is not on the correct foundation. There's so many things that are going wrong and there's a tension. We ask for grace, Father, that you will share for give dreams and visions. Speak, Father, in a way so that your family will be able to truly understand this is the way forwards. This is why we exist. We ask for a unity to take place by your Holy Spirit, Father, in agreement with you, so that together as your family, whatever you're wanting to do, there's a oneness to it. There's no strife. There's no jealousy. There's no fighting. There's no accusation. So help us to mature in these things, Father. Help us to grow up in these things. Help us to go beyond our own agenda as in particular church settings and so forth. And we thank you for your grace this morning. Lord, this morning as we eat and we drink together, celebrating what you have done and just remembering, Lord God, going back to when you said to the Father that sacrifices of bulls and animals, etc., you do not take delight in, but a body you have prepared. Because it's only your blood, Lord, and your sacrifice. And that's what we celebrate this morning, Lord Jesus. Because of what you did in your obedience to the Father, your love for the Father, the devil had no hold of you. You overcome it all. And in you, Lord Jesus, we are able to live in your fruit here on earth and experience it by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we want to thank you that you have lifted us up. We want to thank you that you have set us free. We want to thank you that, Father, for all of us seated here today, that in one way or the other, we want to thank you that you will impart such vision and such just insights into the incredible reason for living in the time that we're living in. And we receive that today. And this we thank you through you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.